Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, but most importantly, an ongoing student. I am just like you, always growing, always evolving, growing the consciousness level, more self-awareness. Oh, it's exhausting. Happiness Specialist, how dare she? Well, let me just share. When I was younger, remember blowing your candles out on your birthday cake, I remember making only two wishes. This is when I was in my teens. Number one, I wanted to live to my potential. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't have any idea. I didn't have any visualization. I said, I just want to live to my potential. And the second thing I wished for is I wanted to be happy. And just like most, not everybody, but just like most, I thought being happy was going to be attained by achievements, titles behind my name, bank account with astronomical numbers, traveling. I mean, all of the programmed behaviors that I believed were going to bring happiness. And let me be very clear about this word happiness, because some people don't even like that word. So my definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen, the ability to vibrate a personal energy of peace and contentment regardless of what happens. And that is ongoing. That is rooted in my core. So it doesn't matter what happens out there. And just like you, I'm not skipping through the tulips. This life is so many challenges left and right. Baseball bats to the back of the head. Unexpected events. So I get it. In fact, I think, don't tell anyone, but I think I get bombarded even more since I'm claiming to be a happiness specialist. But that's between me and the universe. I use the term universe. Some people use God or source, spirit, all that there is. It doesn't matter. It's that entity that is the creator. Ah, the good news is, my dear listeners, the good news is happiness, contentment, and inner peace are all practiced skills. Just like any other skill, from being a musician, a speaker, a writer, a chef, a painter, landscaper. I'm going to have to come up with more examples. But anything that is a practice. And so this happiness, this inner peace, this contentment, which in my opinion are all the same vibration, the happiness that I speak of is the same vibration of contentment. So let's get really clear on that. But it is a practice. And then what do you practice, you ask? Thank you for that question. The practice is recognizing, focusing on, highlighting, spotlighting all of the programmed behaviors that subtract from happiness, that subtract from contentment. And speaking of which, my book that's going to be out, and I've been saying this for 2 months, but in a couple of months, I'm just one more chapter that I'm editing, and it is going to be sent to the book formatter, and I've already got the cover. It's called Programmed for Unhappiness. Programmed for Unhappiness, Exposing the Untold Truth. I'm going to be talking about all of the lies that are told and that we've all been programmed to believe about this thing called happiness. And one of the things that I discovered on this journey, which is 45 years. Did she say 45 years? Yes, she did. 45 years of research, 45 years of practice, 45 years of discovery. My foundational teachers are, a lot of people ask me that, so I have to remember to share. My foundational teachers are Dr. David Hawkins, H-A-W-K-I-N-S, of course, Abraham, Esther Hicks, Eckhart Tolle, Deepak, and the Eckhart Tolle and Deepak, regardless of them as, when I say humans, their teachings, their books have been invaluable, the information. The other one is the Science of Mind, not Scientology, Science of Mind. Who's the author? Lord have mercy, I can't believe that. It's leaving me. That's what I get when I ask the universe, how do I live in the practice moment, in the present moment? The universe has gifted me with lack of memory. Who is the author it'll come to me right before the show ends. Anyway, I digress. But before I go on, I want to share that if you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And if you're on Wisdom, you can just ask to join. Another thing is that on my YouTube channel, my son and I are doing a weekly live show at every Saturday at 9:15 a.m. the Pacific Standard Time, and it's called, listen to this title, Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense, dramatic pause, plus more. Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense, plus more. And yesterday we taped the 15th episode. Moving right along. Yes, I'm someone's mother. But back to the whole topic, the introduction of the truth about happiness. And I like to share this, especially I'm getting a lot of new followers, a lot of new connections, new audience. So I like just to give a brief introduction. There is a famous study you can Google. It's called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. What? The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying is a study done by hospice nurse Bronnie Ware, spelled B-R-O-N-N-I-E, Ware, W-A-R-E. And so she asked her patients who had days, weeks, months to live, what are your 5 biggest regrets? And sure enough, these 5 kept coming up. These 5 that she wrote a book about kept coming up most often. I don't even know if that's correct English. They kept coming up a lot. These were the 5 most common regrets of the dying. The title says it all. Why am I making this more complicated than it is? The 5 most common regrets of the dying. Number 1, I wish I pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Number 2. Here we go. I wish I didn't work so hard. Shout out to all my workaholics. I wish I didn't work so hard. Number 3. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Well, yours truly doesn't have that issue anymore. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. I always put an asterisk, a caveat behind that one. Sometimes we just outgrow people. There's nothing wrong with them, even though I may judge them and say that there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with me. We're just incompatible. And so the last most common regret of the dying is, I wish I would have let myself be happier. And I don't know about you, but that's number one. This happiness, this vibration, this energy of contentment has been a number one commitment, agenda, intention for 45 years. And now that's why I believe that I am the global leading specialist on it. Of course, I could be wrong. She's so humble. The good news, again, is happiness is a practice skill, and if I can do it, anyone can do it. And I'm not here to say that I have all of the answers, but I can tell you I'm up to 55 program behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your happiness. And the book's going to be out. The book is coming out soon, but 55 program behaviors. And today we're going to talk about the ego and the disguises of the ego, recognizing the characteristics of the ego, which are, here we go, and I use the term ego, some people say lower consciousness, critical mind. You know that voice in your head that is always coming up with some negative story, some discontentment, this isn't enough, this moment needs to change. The ego is never, ever satisfied. In fact, that's how you can recognize it. Dissatisfaction in every single moment. There needs to be something else should be happening. Should, I use that word, should. Something else needs to be happening. Something, there's a mistake here. I'm not supposed to be experiencing this, so wrapping it all up into unwanted moments. And I'm here to tell you, and seatbelts on, there's no such thing as an unwanted moment. Oh, I know it hurts me. It hurts me to have to let you know that. It hurts me to practice and keep practicing that too. But there's no such thing as an unwanted moment. But my ego will tell me that there is. And when you start recognizing and separating yourself from this ego, who, by the way, uses you, my dear listener, uses you as a host. Remember the movie Alien? Uses you as a host, needs your belief that the identity is, needs you to believe that you are your ego, needs your voice. I don't know why I'm yelling. I just get really passionate about this. And my challenges, struggles are ongoing. Practices are ongoing, and I love to share a different perspective. So here we go. If you've listened to me, you know one of my constants, it just keeps coming up. Haven't mastered it yet. This staying calm, being at peace, feeling the energy of contentment while on the phone with customer service. Any customer service, it doesn't matter. Customer service, oh my gosh, the ego has me triggered to any customer service call, especially if I, oh my goodness, here we go, especially if the person is over-explaining, especially if the person is slow. You know, my ego comes up with, what a waste of this. They're wasting my time. You see how the ego has an identity that always finds fault in the present moment. Always finds fault. So here we go. I actually had to call customer service this morning, too, but it's still a practice. When I say happiness is a practice skill, don't think I'm not practicing every waking hour. But let me share this story. And I came, and the universe was gracious enough to give me another perspective. Yesterday, what happened? Okay, I called customer service. What was my customer service call from yesterday? It wasn't Apple. Apple was this morning. Oh, AT&T. Oh, that's a great one. Oh, and especially, you know it's bad when I know each prompt, when I can recite each prompt. You know when I call Apple customer service, I know what button to push. I know what number to push, so there's no music playing. I've mastered, oh, customer service. What a. Oh, I have my head down. One hand, my left hand is on my forehead, and my head is down, and my eyes are closed. I'm shaking my head right and left. There's your visual. Because one of these days, this show is going to be a video, not just audio. But I digress. I get off the phone with customer service, and of course, my ego gets very testy and. You don't have to explain that to me. I don't understand technical. You know, don't bother. Can we come up with a solution? Oh, it's very impatient. Oh, the customer service, all of the program behaviors, number one, being impatient. Number two, having expectations. Number three, having an attachment to a speedy outcome. That speed is really important to my ego. And again, it's a separation. It is a separation of me, the real me, the universal me, and this ego. So I get off the phone. Oh, by the way, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And if you want to speak with me, just press the number 1. But back to the story. So it's a tug of war with peace and my ego, and peace and my ego, and I'm aware of all of it. I know when my ego has risen, is waving its hand to speak, is in control. There you go. I'm very aware of it. It's stepping out. It's stepping back. And this is what happened. I got off the phone, and then I said to myself, because I was irritated, I was annoyed, I was bothered, all of that, a little tick of, why do you throw in a tick of anger, too? All of these labels to the emotions. Now, I'm going to say something about emotions, and I'm going to get back to the story. At this particular time in my life, I don't label my emotions anymore. I know the world teaches a label sadness, anger, even happy. All of that is a label. And what I want to share is, as humans, you are going to feel a variety of emotions. Again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Press the number 1 if you want to speak with me live. I have a few people in the queue, and if you want to speak live, just press number 1. Back to the emotions. So my latest practice, and this has been probably the last year, maybe year and a half, of not labeling the emotions. And when I say not labeling, and I'll get to you in a minute, I believe that's my buddy from Canada. As humans, we are going to feel a lot of different feelings, a lot of different emotions, and they are going to come and they are going to go. So my practice is not to attach a story as to why I'm feeling a certain way. So this irritation, this impatience, this annoyance with it's because it's customer service is why I'm annoyed. You follow me on that? I'm angry, I'm annoyed because, and that word because is a word of the ego. It is the word that the ego uses to offer just one perspective. I'm impatient, I'm bothered, I'm annoyed, I'm angry because of this person on customer service, and I didn't get the problem resolved. Here we go. This is what blew me away yesterday. It was a great message from the universe, and I'm sharing it with you. I got off the phone, and because of my lack of contentment and lack of calmness and lack of peace, I said out loud, you won that round, ego, you won. And then the universe hit me with this. Oh, wait, I said you won. And I said, one of these days, I'm 68 years old, but don't tell anybody. I'm 68 years old, and I said, one of these days, I'm going to master this whole irritation with customer service. One of these days, it's going to be mastered, just like I mastered, well, I'm going to say mastered 98%, mastered having no expectations, mastered not having attachment to an outcome, mastered surrendering, mastered flowing, mastered not complaining, all of it. And I say mastered with, come on. Am I perfect? Yes, and so are you. Let me get back to the story. So I got off the phone and I said, oh, you won that one, ego. You mother. And then the universe said to me, you know, for all these years, scratch that, for all these decades, you've desired to call customer service and be at peace. And vibrate calmness and vibrate balance when you're on the phone with customer service, correct? That's one of your desires. Yeah, no, I'm not up here desiring money or a new home on the range or any of that, but definitely desiring and wanting to be at peace when I'm on the phone with customer service. And so far, I mean, there's been sprinkles of success now and then, but for most of it, no. There's always a problem. And so the universe is, you wanted to master that for a long time, haven't you, Rebecca? Yes, I have. And they said, who's behind that wanting that to be mastered? That's all ego. The truth is, my ego even wanting to master that, the ability to call customer service and still feel content, that's still a want and desire from my ego. You see how tricky it is? It's still a want and desire from my ego. And wanting that whole experience to be over. When am I going to get there? When am I going to be able to be calm? When can I call customer service and no matter what is said to me, no matter what the response, no matter what is happening, I can still just flow through it. I can deep exhale. My shoulders are not tight up around my ears. My back isn't tense. I can just chill. With customer service. Yeah, that's been a desire for a long time. If I'm a happiness specialist, and I am, that's supposed to be in my tool belt. Until the universe hit me with, no, that's a desire that your ego has. Because if something is happening, it's supposed to happen. The universe still wants to experience being upset, being annoyed, being impatient with customer service. And you know, just like I know, my dear listener, that when it's time for a shift, when there's a time for a shift of perspective, of behavior, it happens with ease, with peace And so apparently it's not time for me to call customer service and just vibe all the way through it. Oh, yes, I have a stupid person on the other end of the line, and they're slow, and they're over-explaining. Yay! It's not to laugh. See, I know when I'm hit with one perspective and I'm not laughing, well, that's all ego, because the ego doesn't find anything funny. The ego, in fact, this shit is serious. This is important. And I shared this last week, but there is a channeler that I really love now. You can look him up, David Enke, I believe his name is. But he channels an entity called Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. And last week I listened to one of his videos, and he said, I have to tell you something. You know, he's speaking as Bashar. He says, life is meaningless. The nerve of him. Life is meaningless until you, the ego, put some meaning on it. He was talking about live in that, put some meaning or a judgment on it. Live in that energy of neutral, of neutrality. Practice living in neutrality, where nothing is good, bad, right, wrong. It just is. Life is meaningless. Yep, I had to do a double swallow on that one. But isn't that the truth? Until the ego puts a meaning on it. So the moral of the story, and then I'm going to go to my caller, the callers in the queue. The moral of the story, the lesson in this story is this: wanting something to be different, even though it's so noble. Oh, I can't wait until I can vibrate contentment, even during customer service, and everybody's got something. Mine just happens. My ball and chain just happens to be customer service. Yay! The practice is knowing which voice, which entity is speaking. The universe doesn't desire anything to change until it's time for it to change. And so what is my responsibility, job, is to sit back and to surrender to all of the ups and downs and all of the emotions of all of those emotions that aren't neutral, all of those emotions, and start laughing. Let's start having some fun in this journey. Let's start skipping and jumping and kikiing and laughing. You know that it is a challenge. You know that it's your ego if you can't find any humor. Let me go to the caller. The caller, area code 780. Is that you, my dear Jay? Hold on a second.
Yes,
is that
it
you,
is.
Jay?
Hey. Yes, it is.
Hey, Jay.
Happy St. Patrick's
up?
Day. And I just listened to your show. It's a really good topic to speak about in regards to recognizing when the ego in disguises is that you were just talking about the emotions of it when we react or respond to a situation. And I find that you have to look from a third-person point of view of yourself to recognize that. Because if you don't recognize it, it's because you don't know anything about it, or maybe what's it about? I often find that if you know partly how the mind works a little bit, it makes a huge amount of difference on how to recognize when the ego is doing its thing, and then you have to question it real quickly, because that emotions or the ego can take over what you're maybe trying to rationalize or trying to solve. So I just, you know, question everything.
That, you know what, so you said so many good points, and let me just share this before I forget. You can, online there is a woman, her name is Barbara Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R, and she has a PDF free to download. It's called The Mental Laws. Let me see if I can find it right now. The Mental Laws. Hold on a second. And you were just talking about it, studying, knowing. Hold on a second. All in the moment. In the moment. In the moment. Of course, it's not here. Where is it? Oh, there it is. You got to keep the mental laws close. And you were just talking about the study of the mind. And so it's fascinating. In fact, I put a lot of her information in my first book, Reality, Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, published in 2014. And, okay, here we go. The mental laws, I'm just going to read them, the chapters. The law of witnessing, there is a difference between you and your thoughts. The law of thoughts arising. So that I gave an example of a couple of weeks ago. You stare at a wall. Stare at a blank wall and try not to have any thoughts coming up. Try just to blank, you know, nothing in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
So what she's saying is that, no, the mind is always going to bring up some thoughts. That's just the way it is. But these thoughts are not our identity. The other one, the law of naming, that's a good one. So now we have our thoughts, and now we're going to name or put a judgment on them. And that's why I said that I practice not labeling my emotions anymore. I'm human, I'm going to feel. So question, how does anybody know what lonely feels like? Jay?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. How do you know that sadness feels like? Oh, you know, all of these things, how do we know? So my solution, my personal solution, is to not name or label my emotions. I just say, I'm human and I'm feeling, period. I'm feeling because I'm human. Let me just read all of these, the chapters. The law of cause and effect, the law of emotion. Here we go. You can't have an emotion without having a thought first. The law of focus, what you focus your attention on grows. The law of, hold on a second, I'm trying to go through these. The law of free will. No, there's no free will. Sorry, that's another show, but no. In fact, it's been scientifically proven. If your buttons are pushed with that one, I know the population, yeah, we have free will. But there's his name is Dr. Robert Sapolsky, Sapolsky. He's a Stanford professor, and he's globally known. He's got all this work that proves that, no, and it's scientifically, because it starts with your cells. It starts with, okay, so you were in the womb, and what were you subject to while in the womb? So in other words, no, there's no free will based on a lot of stuff. Okay, number 8, the law of underlying beliefs, the law of substitution, the law of mental equivalence, like attracts like, the law of truth. Here we go. No thoughts are true. What did she say? She said, no thoughts are true. Okay, with all of that, see what you brought up, Jay? You see what you brought, what you inspired?
You're welcome.
So, would you like to share a current challenge if you feel inspired?
Sure. I think a challenge right now is that I think anyone who's actually awakened to themselves and what's going on in the world.
No, this is about you, not anyone. This is about Jay. Let's go.
And
not
I'm,
anyone.
I'm,
you.
What I'm saying is that for myself, the reason I'm making that statement is that is that it's kind of not troubling, but it's kind of like, why are other not people not waking up too? And then that's where my emotion gets into it, my ego gets into there. And sometimes I got to say, you know, they're on their own journey now, and just leave it at that. I think it really works out better for myself and not getting involved with other people's journeys. Unfortunately, it's hard to see, but, you know, it's just like you think of like Buddha and like that. I think about Buddha and his journey too, and where the point where you've seen all the suffering that was going on, right? So it's really interesting.
Well, suffering. So the suffering is all within. See, the suffering is so, and then making a judgment that is suffering. So the suffering is within. So I and you know what? You know what I love about you? You know what I love about you?
What is it?
Everything. What? Everything. Everything. And because you brought this up before about other people and their journey and lack of self-awareness, don't think that I'm looking out in the world and say, look at all the robots. These people don't even know that they're programmed. Don't think that. But the practice, what I have to practice even more and more is staying out of people's business and trusting that their journey is specific to them, and whatever they're doing, however they're feeling, however they're acting, is necessary for them. I don't get it. I don't understand it. If I could wave a wand, people would be totally different, more aware, knowing the truth. But no, I can't. So how do I keep my peace? And it's not in, and that's one of the program behaviors, staying out of other people's business. And if somebody lacks self-awareness and somebody is not on the journey, a spiritual journey, guess what? It's my problem because I'm not accepting them with love.
So I do have a question, and it has to do with a two-part question, is that you've been training people for a long time. I don't know if you're still doing it anymore, but all the people that you've taught and people who you've seen overcome maybe an obstacle, what was it with your words or your actions that basically broke the programming that they can't do it or they can't get very far or they keep on going? And my second question is that about persuasion, if there's no money involved, then Is there a different? Then your ego may have to get involved if there's money involved. I'm just thinking about that because when I persuading a person to do a certain thing, maybe at work, it's a thing has to do with money involved or some sort of like responsibility. But when it comes to persuading other people, you know, the journey that you're taking may be questionable or something like that. I'm just curious about that because when they're putting their investment in you to get them to a certain point of maybe a physical development, then there is you got to use your ego, I think, in there to change your programming. I just wonder what your thoughts about what I said.
Okay, let me do the first question you talked about. I've been teaching these classes, The Truth About Happiness, and writing these books and with the classes specifically for 15 years in California, in Oregon, and now in Nevada. And all of those classes are volunteer classes. I just wanted to let you know on that. And okay, so let me and this is what I've learned. And it hasn't changed. Seatbelt time. There's a very small percentage of people that are willing, are able, that even can, or are interested in doing the work. Now, let me be, because I you've heard me say this, but I start all the classes the same. I have a package, or if it's a small class, I actually give out a gift. And I say, in this package is the answer to all of your problems, to all of your challenges for the rest of your life. And when I teach the classes live, I bring the object to the class, and I always have the object with me. And that, do you know what that is? You've listened to me enough.
Sorry.
What? Oh, my goodness.
What?
Okay. What? Okay. It's a mirror.
Oh, yes. Okay.
All of the work, all of the challenges, all of it is done in the mirror. So how many people are rushing to the mirror for their solutions to their unhappiness? This world, this program world teaches, bombards us with, it's them. It's someone else. And in fact, oh, my God, what a great topic you just brought up. And in fact, hold on a second, let me find it. I give these people, I say these people with love. I say these people with love. I get so much people's buttons are pushed. So this one class, not this one class, but this one student, and when you turn in your homework, I say you don't have to do homework if you don't want to, and you don't have to write your name if you don't want to. So this was the homework assignment, and then I'll get to your money question. Okay, here we go. Okay. This is a student, and they didn't put their name on it, but this is the question. Who are the people in your life that are subtracting from your happiness, and why? Be honest. And this person writes, my son, soon-to-be ex, my soon-to-be ex, she refuses to negotiate, read the divorce. She's causing a lot of issues, challenging. Her goal is to ruin me financially. And this person goes on and on and on about the other person. It's another program of blame. Oh, and let me just say this. The second one, he writes, Chris, my stepson, refuses to be good to me because his mom is angry at me. I miss my grandchildren. But this is the other one I want to share. At this class, the one I'm teaching now, and I just started doing this, before class ends, it's an hour and 45-minute class, believe it or not, plus we get a break. But before class ends, my new thing is to dance. You can break whatever kind of energy, challenge, mood, shift. You can always shift your energy, dance, laugh, or sing. Sing, dance, or laugh. I mean, if you really want to shift it, if you're feeling the word is stuck, which is another program word, but if you're feeling and you want to shift your energy, dance, sing, or laugh instantly. So now that I turn on music, and it's a different song every week, and dancing, this student of mine says, the question is, list what type of people that annoy you, people that are rude, inconsiderate, selfish, or without compassion, as examples. So number one, people that insist that I dance. Whee! And number two, people that are oblivious to the world around them. I mean, this, and I know who it is already, because I already know, that is oblivious to the world around them. So I'm irritating, or he's being triggered by me, but it's not me. And if you're really honest, when you are triggered or when your buttons are pushed, it's time to go to the mirror. It's time to look in the mirror. People telling me what I'm supposed to feel. I'm not telling anybody what they're supposed to feel. All I'm doing here in this small amount of time that I have is sharing my perspective, is sharing what's worked for me. It may not work for you, but what I found, Jay, is that there are people that take the class over and over and over again, and it's probably 2%, and there are people that just, no thank you, I'm not interested, or this, or for whatever reason, I'm not even going to try to be into their head, see, because I can't, I don't know the reason. But I'm just saying it's not, the topic of inner peace, happiness, and contentment is not number one. This is not. And I've had to accept that. I didn't even know years ago that some people didn't want to be happy. That was another rude awakening, and I shared that before. No, some people happiness or this inner peace is bothersome, is uncomfortable. No, some people are addicted to the drama. Some people are addicted to the back and forth. Some people are addicted to blaming, and I have to let that go, and I have to practice acceptance. Acceptance without judgment for these people. Oh, it's horrible. And then the last one I want to say, because this is really important. This is a good one. This person is another student, and one who are the people in your life that are subtracting from happiness, and they wrote that their spouse has Parkinson's, just diagnosed with Parkinson's, and they just sit all day in a chair, in a lounge chair, and they say they are totally apathetic. Okay, you hear this? They're totally apathetic. It's part of the disease, and I'm learning to deal with it. And then we go back down to the other question. What type of people annoy you? Example, people that are rude and considerate. This person wrote, people that have no compassion, people that are negative. So this woman or man wrote in about their spouse with newly diagnosed with Parkinson, and they're looking at them, they don't want to get off the couch. And the question is, the question is, they don't have compassion for people that don't have compassion. You don't have empathy. I get that a lot. People with no empathy. Well, you don't have empathy for people that don't have empathy? Oh, don't get me started. What was the second part of your question? Well, specifically, what was the question with the money?
Oh, just because when your ego gets involved, okay, like say, like it was, for example, when your people pay a fee for you to train them to be better in physical fitness or something like that, and then if they're not doing their job, then you get your ego steps and say, hey, you know, you got to step up on it and start doing it, because you know, you basically are paying me to do it. But if there's no obligation of money in terms of that, then you would say that, or I would say that it's their own journey. I think there's maybe the business of spirituality and just spirituality by itself, right? I'm just thinking about that.
Well, let me see if I understand your question. Are you saying that if people are paying me one-on-one and they're not getting any new results, or they're not finding results, is there a problem with that? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what's happened because I do one-on-ones also, but what I found is that there's not too many people that want to eat, breathe, and digest this contentment thing. But the people that do, and it's just like any other practice, it's just like any other skill. The people that are committed to it will commit to it, whether they're getting paid, whether they're giving money, whether they're, you know, buying a service or not. But I found that it is a very challenging, difficult to put yourself responsible for all of it. Even me, it is a constant, and it's horrible. It's a constant that I know that I am the answer and I am the solution, I am the challenge, I am the problem. And I'm going to even separate that. My ego is, not the title of Rebecca Norrington, my ego is the challenge, and my ego is the issue that always finds a problem. But so let me share what I do, and you said it earlier. It's stepping out. It's witnessing this discontentment, witnessing this that something needs to change. You know, if you listen to me, when my mother died in 2018, she gifted the house to the handyman. Well, 6 years later, do you know that battle is still, the legal battle is still going on? I got the house back, but now it's me against the attorney that did that. And 6 years, I haven't received my inheritance. 6 years, so what am I supposed, is it the attorney? No. You know what the universe is teaching me? Patience. Patience. I hate my lessons. Oh, up yours, universe. Not again. Patience and acceptance and not being attached to an outcome and letting everything go and knowing that whatever is supposed to come to me will. And if it's not supposed to manifest or come to me, it won't. Period. And letting all of that go. Oh, they're breaking me down. Patience. Ugh. And acceptance. But back to the money. So the money is not an, you know, people have this interesting relationship with money. And I'm going to throw my hand up too. But I don't talk about money. It's just not of interest to me anymore. The money will come or it won't come. And, you know, some people, well, you're blocking your abundance. No, I'm not blocking shit because there's nothing that I will do, can do, that God isn't going to, God is going to be blocked. God's not going to be blocked by anything. But anyway, that's my, I don't know if I even answered the question, but this thing, if people are paying me for a certain result and they don't get that result, then that's on them. And quite frankly, if someone is just, in fact, this happened in Oregon, someone is just, you know, once a week, and then it's all they're doing is they want me to listen to them. Next. Because I'm not going to spend a year or 2 years listening to the same thing. I'm just not. Not to say that some people will. Not to say there's something. If you don't want to do anything, I'm not going to. Can't make you do anything. I can't make you practice. And I'm just next. Yeah. Some people just like to talk. Some people just like to vent without any action, and so it's my job to accept that. Well, that was a long answer.
It was. That's your question.
Oh, I have a guest waiting. Oh, Jesus. But I, you know, I appreciate you every time you call, and you bring up topics that not only are important to, you know, for you and for me, but I mean, now everybody else has can be exposed to a different perspective. And if it helps, yay, and if it doesn't, yay, yay. All right, my dear Jay.
Till next time.
Okay, guest waiting. Oh, gee, okay. I didn't even see that. Here we go. Guest waiting. Beepity beep beep. Here you come. Here you go. Thank you for waiting. I wasn't even paying attention. Guest waiting. Megan Ann. Hello, greetings.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome. I actually had a question for you. When you were talking about, like, your inheritance that you were waiting for that you never got, I have, like, a similar situation, kind of, but, like, it was kind of taken from me. And so I was going to ask, like, what were, like, if you could talk about, like, how you went through that legally to get that back for you.
Okay. Legally, when my mother died, she gifted the family house to her handyman, and the attorney drafted, and I may have to bring you back again, and the attorney drafted, who's a very powerful man here in Clark County in Las Vegas. He's the probate commissioner, so he's got a lot of influence, and he wrote the Fourth Amendment to the trust when my mother was mentally incapable of even understanding what she was signing. But that's neither here nor there. So it took about a year and a half for me to get the house back and $120,000 worth of legal fees. Now, after all of that, I'm not going to just let that go. I'm suing the attorney in civil court. However, the complaint was just thrown out, and now I have to appeal. But do you hear how I'm speaking about it without any emotion, just matter of fact?
Yeah.
Now, so that's one of the things I want to share with you. One of my practices is this energy of this is serious and this is important. This is serious and this is important. No, this is just an experience without a judgment. So the experience is something I am supposed to experience, and the practice is knowing and surrendering that this is part of my journey and letting it all go. So it's not personal, believe it or not. But let me get back to you. So specifically, what is your question? What happened? If you want to share, and what are you struggling with?
I won't go into too many details, but I had when I was 17, when I was a minor. After my great aunt passed away, no one knew that she had a medical fund, that she was saving for me because I am a cancer survivor of 30 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, what I was told, and I don't know if it was true or not, that this was supposed to be like a trust fund, but my mom was telling me that it was for medical purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of like read into it a little bit. I was supposed to be given that before the age of 25. I'm 37 now, and I have never heard my parents talk about what they did with me, or if it's still even sick or whatnot. And I'm going back and I'm looking into all these places where I originally signed documents and everything. And the banks were telling me that there is no documentation record of that even happened, even though I was there and I signed these documents like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got you. I understand exactly what you're saying. So you're saying that. Let me just be clear. And come up again if you like, because we're getting down to a minute. So what you're saying is you think or you believe that money was supposed to be left to you, and you remember signing documents, but now where is the money, correct?
Yeah, yes.
And you think or believe that your parents, I don't know one or the other, but both or maybe both, have stolen the money, correct?
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, and now there's two things that you can do. Just two things that you can do. Number one, how do you feel about asking your parents yourself? Do you have a relationship with them or no?
I have tried in the past. I've tried asking them, like, hey, like, where's the fund or whatever, because I need, like, X amount from it to help me out with, like, bills or whatever, and they get very defensive, and they shut me down.
Okay.
They wouldn't answer correctly.
Of course. Come back, sweetie. Come back. What a great question. I love questions, by the way. Questions, questions, questions. That's why I'm here. Answering questions. Answering questions. Okay. So let's get down to the truth. So the truth is that it's more than likely that they've done something nefarious and they've taken the money or hid the money or whatever, but they've stolen the money, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do about that? What can you do about that?
I mean, I've taken kind of an avenue of, like, as far as doing some sort of just kind of like background work a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Investigating, you mean? Investigating?
Yeah. Investigating it, mm-hmm. like myself. Because I feel like if I ask anybody in my family, they're going to be like, go talk to your parents. And then they're just, and if I ask my parents, they're not going to really give me great answers. So they're basically going to send me in a giant circle, and I'm like, I don't want that. Like, I need an answer, and I need it now. And if I need to go through, like, a court order or whatever, I would.
Well, that is exactly what I was going to have to say, because you know that your parents aren't going to be forthcoming because they haven't been. I mean, if somebody's stolen money, then I'm not going to say, hey, yeah, I stole your money. And my next question is to you is now, and see, you've known this for a while, but doing the investigation, great idea. And then, but also be prepared that there may not be nothing there. And then my next question is, what kind of relationship are you going to have with your mother and father? I'm not going to, well, this is your decision, but.
I tried, my mom's already sabotaged, you know, trust in our relationship long ago. And I always have to remind myself, like, because she is also a narcissist and is also a part of the issue. It's a power and control struggle because she always feels like she needs the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes from less of conditioning.
Of course.
I have 5 kids, and I got a lot of the responsibility, and everything was pushed up on me. But anyway, the whole point of that, like, I felt like something that did belong to me was taken from me. But now I need it for, you know, medical expenses or bills or whatever because of my situation. And it feels like she's trying to always make things very difficult for me because she wants me to suffer.
Well, it's not that she – well, listen, even this, it's still not personal. This is an impersonal universe. But the bigger thing is, I'm just gonna say it, stolen money doesn't really – either people are in your corner or you're not. I don't care if they're your mother or your twin sister. If somebody isn't in your corner, then it's my responsibility not to be around them. And this – when I say not to be around them, it's distance. It's distance. So there is, especially with children, it's so hard to cut that cord, especially if somebody's been mean and abusive and all that. But here we go. Seatbelt. If you are always given what you need, and I get it, the full financial is going to make everything a lot better. But if you don't have it, the universe, you don't need it. So it's the ego saying, giving you, yeah, I need it. And, of course, everybody could use more money. But if you don't have it, you don't need it. That's a universal. That's a universal statement. The universe, go ahead.
Sorry, I kind of understand, but I'm kind of at a loss. It's like, if me personally, if I am not working and I have no stream of income and I need to be, you know, kind of situated and get my ducks in a row or whatever, but my problem is that I could never get my situation. I'm trying to get ahead, you know, and every time I would try to get ahead, then I would have this massive setback. And then this is the type of setback that I would have to deal with because I am not like a rich person.
Okay.
You know?
And so I have my, I'm just going to share this. My best friend, and you can come back if you want. My best friend who worked full time, and he's in a position where he had, you know, credit card bills, I mean, at least $50,000-$60,000. I mean, you know how hard it is to get credit card bills down, especially with the interest. And, you know, just back and forth with the finances. And the universe, and I get it, but the universe, this is him talking, not me. This is him sharing with me. He needed to learn a lesson that, he scratched that. The lesson was that his attachment to money, his attachment, and he attached money with feeling or being responsible. His attachment to having money is what the universe wanted to free him of. And I know I'm not poo-pooing or your financial is nothing. I just don't know how to deliver my message any softer. I'm one of those, you know, I'm a boot camp instructor, so my message, I hope you can feel it, is from my heart and I'm not callous. But there's a lesson here for you, and the practice, this is not going to be easy to hear. This is horrible. In fact, I don't even like telling you. I already like you. So the message is, and it's, here we go. Can you find, I don't even want to tell you, but you're stuck with me now. Can you find three things that are good about the situation you're in? You see why I don't have any friends? Three things, because I go right to, for me, I go right to what's good, what's good, what's good. I know something is good.
If it doesn't have anything to do with the situation, I mean, I'm grateful and thankful that, you know, I have my family, my kids in the house, and that I'm being taken care of.
Okay, that's one. And see, you see the shift is what you're focusing on. You're focusing on loss. You're focusing on lack. And I get it. I promise you I do. Money is very helpful, especially if you need it, certain situations. But the focus on lack, the focus on what I'm saying is this is a bigger lesson, or this is a bigger opportunity, scratch the lesson. This is a bigger opportunity for you to expand thinking about it just other than just one way, because the ego only wants you stuck one way, thinking about it one way. And quite frankly, parents stole the money. I mean, they could care less about your well-being. They're not very nice people, and a good riddance. I know it's easy for me to say, but I just do not. You're worth more.
I think it's hard for me because, you know, we had an emotional connection when I was like younger, but then after, you know, many kids and many years and many issues later, it's like they just discarded me and moved on to somebody else. That's basically, you know, the whole narcissistic, you know, pattern. You know, it's not to bring in all of that, but I'm saying, like, I've been through a lot of things with my parents and the way they treat me, the way that they kind of think about my well-being. Like I said, you know, they don't really give a crap. It hurts me that, you know, somebody who, you know, gave birth to you and loved you and raised you and basically kicked you out and didn't really do anything else. Like, it hurts.
Well, it hurts, and it hurts, and it's time to recover from, get over that hurt. And see,
yeah.
and see the holding on to this illusion that they care or they cared, and you gave me a story about they used to care, and I'm here to tell you they never did care. You don't start caring for someone and then stop caring for somebody. I mean, if it's real caring. So it's a putting, you know, giving making excuses. They're horrible people.
I just think it's really weird that to have a parent who was in, like, the caregiving business that doesn't even actually care for her.
So, and, you know, I just, there's, and that's, and see, and there was an article I read. I was in the doctor's office last week, and it was about this woman and the family. I think they were Mormon, and they had millions of followers. I wish I could remember their name. And millions of followers, and they would give tips on raising children. They just arrested those mother effers in August for child abuse. So,
I believe that.
Yeah. So see, you have this Disneyland illusion of who they are, and I'm here to tell you that they don't care. They could care less about your well-being, and so that it goes back to you. Because the more you focus on them and labeling them whatever they are, narcissists, whatever, you're not focusing on what can you do. And see, if you have children, it's still up to you to teach your children how to let go, how to walk away from people that are mean, cruel, could care less. How do you walk away from that? So now what you're teaching is, I love you, but how do you hold on to people that are cruel to you?
You can't. You don't, because it's going to keep dragging you down.
Well, stop it. Stop it now and focus on what you do have and let go of this. Because if the universe, if you were supposed to get this money, you can do the legal, you know, do the research, do the investigation, but you're not going to find anything other than it's gone.
Yeah, that was what I was afraid of.
No, be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of the truth. And then the show's going to be done. But, sweetie, don't be afraid of the truth. The truth is freeing. See, this holding on to, listen, I believed in Santa Claus way beyond what I should have. I remember I was in grammar school, and somebody said there's no Santa Claus, and I was, what do you mean there's no Santa Claus? Of course there's a Santa Claus and an Easter Bunny, too. What I'm telling you is it's time to let go of the belief. If somebody is showing you who they are, then accept it and move on. So see, the struggle is, let me go to another example. Come on, we've all been in relationships that aren't, quote, healthy or energetically compatible. And the reason why I stayed, this was years ago, and the reason why I stayed in that kind of relationship is because I didn't value number one, who I was, plus, here we go, it wasn't time for me to get out of it. So even me telling you, don't have any conversation with your parents, cut them off, they're jerks, they're mean, they're cruel, I know that that's not going to make a difference. You will still be or have these feelings until it's time for you not. But know that these parents, just because they're labeled parent, just because they're labeled mother, father, doesn't mean that they're going to behave in a certain way. Just because they're social workers doesn't mean that they care about their own children. And hanging on to a belief that isn't true, well, time to look in the mirror on that one. Time to look in the mirror. And when the mirror work starts, guess what leaves? There's nobody else in the mirror but you. Nobody else to talk about. Nobody else to blame. Nobody else to ruminate about. Nobody else to focus on but that person in the mirror. But there's something distracting. You think drugs are distraction? No. Looking out and finding fault outside of yourself. I don't want to use the word fault. Or finding a problem outside of what's going on in here. Letting go. Let go. I could let go of somebody that's not nice to me. And in fact, I remember, this is how bad it gets. I remember, this is about 7 years ago, one of my friends from high school, we met at a Starbucks, and he sat across the table from me. I was late, and he sat across the table, and he had a coffee and a muffin, and didn't even ask if I wanted a coffee or a muffin. Oh, you think that I'm keeping that kind of person? You know what you keep? You keep people that are kind and generous and accepting. Accepting, kind, and generous. That's it. Anyone else? Hit the road, Jack. Woo! Wow, what a show. Well, thank you for listening. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality, which is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Follow me on Twitter, RL Norrington. My website, RebeccaNorrington.com. LinkedIn. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. Look, my son and I are doing a live show every Saturday morning at 9:15. It's called Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense. Plus more. We just taped episode 15 yesterday. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon, but the book that I'm writing now is going to be out in less than 2 months. It's called Programmed for Unhappiness, Exposing the Untold Truth. And some of those behaviors, those programmed behaviors, are, I'm up to 55. 55 programmed behaviors. And I say this, you can lie to anybody you want, but don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to that person in the mirror, because I lie to keep the peace all the time. Don't tell anyone. Whew. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness, inner peace, and contentment are all practice skills. And I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you will find, and the more you will experience that peace, that contentment in every single moment. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real. Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, time to get down.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, you don't feel good now.
Get real good.
Now, that's what I'm talking about.
Time to get real.